It's tea time again. You are welcome to join me around the table as we feast from God's Word. It is our prayer here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church that this podcast will teach, encourage, and admonish us ladies to be the wives and mothers that He has designed us to be. May He overflow our cups today from His Word. Ladies, we looked at two temperaments last week, the strong-willed independent choleric and the fun-loving sanguine. So I'm going to review again these temperaments. You know, I thought if we could get an understanding of these core temperaments, then it'll be easier for us all to recognize the different blends in our children. So I was just thinking about this Winnie the Pooh. I'm sure a lot of you've watched, you know, the Winnie the Pooh yourself or with your children, but Rabbit. He was a typical choleric. Tigger was a sanguine. Pooh Bear, he was a phlegmatic. And Eeyore was a melancholy temperament. So it's kind of comical, but a good analogy that you can think about with your kids' cartoons. But in the study of temperaments, which is our born behavior, we've got the sanguine, which is emotionally driven. And we talked about that some last time, and we'll continue to talk about it today. Phlegmatic and melancholy are both mind-driven. They're driven and in the realm of their mind. Choleric, they are driven with their will, in the realm of their will and self-determination in their will. We'll see this as we study each one, but I wanted to go back to these two today that we did before. If you have a choleric child, they are born leaders. They do not take no for an answer. They are self-sufficient. They don't need anyone. They do not need to be pampered. They are goal-driven and hard workers. They have good discernment. So, okay, I was thinking about this. One of my children, I told you last time, is choleric, and that is Olivia. So she is choleric like her daddy. She was the one that was in the middle of the clothes rack because she was tired. She was done with shopping. She decided she was going to take things in her own hands. She's always been like this, but Olivia has always had such good discernment. And I would have to get on to her sometimes because the way she'd come around is so harsh and abrasive, but usually what she said was right. And most of the time, what she picked up on people, her discernment was spot on. And that's just given to her from the Lord. That was who she was. She is a choleric personality, and she's extremely logical, just straight mind, not emotionally driven at all. She is very logical, like her daddy. She's very responsible, and so that's another thing about clerics, they're responsible. Now, they have weaknesses. They're never wrong, and they will fight for what they believe is right because they really honestly believe that they are right. They're never wrong. They don't have to apologize because they don't have anything to apologize about. They don't have to have people around them. They can play by themselves when they're little. They're very hot-headed. They get really upset and tear down all their blocks if something upsets them. Like I said before, they don't show emotions. They don't cry as often as other children, especially when they get in their adult years, because they're not emotionally driven, like the sanguine, like I said. They're not driven in the mind world because they're driven with their will and that they're right, what they believe is right. They don't battle their minds because they're narrow and straight-minded in what they believe. They are stubborn. They are okay with just being by themselves and who they are. So David is a good example in the scripture. In 1 Samuel 17, it talks about this whenever his daddy, Jesse, he said, go and take some food to your brothers and take cheese to the captain of the guard. He was telling him what to do. And so David did exactly what his daddy told him to do. He was responsible. He made sure his sheep was taken care of. He left early that morning, and then whenever he got there, it says in verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. They were sore afraid of this giant Philistine. And so David said, "Is there not a cause?" He says, "What should be done to this, to the man that killed this Philistine?" They were talking about what that would happen, and then the people answered after the manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth the Philistine." And then Eliab, the oldest brother, heard, and he spake unto the men. That he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" He was trying to belittle his brother. "And I know thy pride and the haughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" So he told his brother, he was his older brother, he said, "Is there not a cause? What in the world are you doing, brother?" And so Saul heard of this, and so Saul was going to give him his armor. But David said, "Hey, I've not proved them." And David put them off. He said, "No, he's got his own idea." David had his own idea. He was how he was going to defeat the Philistine. He was self-motivated, self-driven. He knew exactly what he was going to do, and he had a goal, and he was going to do it. And he did with God's help. So he was a mighty man of God, and that God used David in a mighty way. He was a strong leader, and what he believed is his core values, that he fought for those. He was a mighty warrior. See that through the scripture, how he was used by the hand of God, that God used him in a mighty way. So David's a wonderful example of a choleric person, a temperament, a choleric temperament. But I want to encourage you, moms of those strong-willed clerics, that they can do mighty things if molded in the right direction. And I just want to encourage you, because just like I told you, Olivia is a has a choleric temperament. Part of her temperament's choleric, and it would get very wearisome some days because she would not budge down. And discipline was even an issue because things didn't faze her, because she was, if she believed she was right, you was not going to change how she felt. And so I just wanted to give you a couple of tips of how to discipline a strong-willed cleric. But if you mold those clerics in the right way, in the Word of God, it's Him that does the work through you as parents. There's just no telling what God can do in their life. And honestly, now that Olivia, after she got saved, you know, clerics, if they don't get saved at an early age, they're, because they're always right, they have to see it for themselves, and they don't see things through the eye of faith as easily. And so after she got saved, there was a huge change in her life, and I can see God working in her life, and you're not going to shake her with her convictions and her beliefs. She's very goal-oriented with the things of the Lord and the scripture. So she's been easier now that she's been in the right direction. But there, when she was younger and having to train that temperament of hers and mold it in into what God wanted her to be, a spirit-filled young lady, it gets weary for the parent. But I was thinking, number one is to be calm. Make your calmness contagious and not emotional, but just on fact of the scripture. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." And if I would get angry, then that would just cause more anger. But if I was calm, and this is one thing that, as a discipline with our children, I would show the girls before I discipline them, according to the scripture, why they were getting in trouble, because this is not how we need to, God's law says, and we need to be obedient to His word. It's not just what mama says or daddy says, but it's what God's word says. And we base our home according to the parallel of the scriptures, according to the scripture. So the best thing was to be calm, to be clear. Clarity helps you reinforce boundaries rather than spend time and energy nagging and arguing. Arguing and nagging does not do any good whatsoever with a cleric child. You tell your child the rules and the consequences. This is the rule, just fact. This is fact. This is the consequence. If you do this is the consequence. Help it to be, for the child, very clear, the boundaries, the good and the bad. reinforce what you have discussed with them. It's a good idea to have your child play an active part in developing rules and consequences. You can use this important phrase, "What do you hear me say? Could you repeat what Mama said that you should not do?" And I would do that with all three of my children. Do you understand? Do you remember what Mama said? You can't do this, and why can't you do that? So take time to make sure things have been communicated clearly with your child. So be calm, be clear, and be consistent. Consistency helps strong-willed children to learn that being in charge is not up for grabs. So that is the main thing that helped with Olivia being choleric, is that with all three of them though, but it's just consistency. And you'll see that with any temperament with your children, is to be consistent, always be the same. Even if you're tired, you don't have to deal with it. You have to be consistent, because while it's not always easy, the parents must unite in their approach. Otherwise, the child quickly realizes the authority and power are wavering and divided. Strong-willed children respond to if you have lack of confidence, and they'll kind of try to work in that weakness. I know strong-willed children will try to play the other, maybe weaker parent, and try to play the parents a part. So you have to be on board as husband and wife with your boundaries in the home. But also, not only be calm, be clear, be consistent, but follow through. Strong-willed children want to know what you mean and what you mean, what you say. They respect and trust authority if you, but you have to gain that. And so they are rebellious by nature. They just are. They're rebellious because they believe they always have the best end result and they're always right. So when you follow through as if you're putting money in the bank and trust with you and your child and being consistent. So also another tip is to delegate some control, because they are dominant leaders. Give the child an opportunity to earn an appropriate measure of decision-making privilege in your house. And that if they do good at something, just say, "Okay, you can pick." Give them a choice of maybe activities y'all could do, or games, if you have game night, that they could choose. Assigned control over maybe a bike trail that your family's going on. "Okay, because this fellow has been great today, we're going to let him decide where we go out to eat tonight." Or just give them a little bit of control. She could come up with practical solutions to clean or maintenance the house. "Mate, what do you think would be the best way to clean your room or to clean the bathroom?" So try to let them delegate some control, and also teach and reinforce humility. So a strong-willed child is that they're not emotionally driven, so they don't see emotions of other people. Therefore, they don't have empathy for other people. So it's good to reinforce with them to care for other people and to stop and take time to think about their words before they say them, and how it's going to respond to the other person, the other party. And so that's just a few couple of practical things that can help, that helped me with a strong child. But like I said before, a strong temperament like that with a choleric is can be used in a mighty way. Paul's a good example as well in the scripture. But the other is the fun-loving sanguine that we talked about last time. I just wanted, like I said, review and really strengthen these four temperaments. And then whenever we get to the blends, you can pretty much read those in the book if you purchase the book, and you can kind of figure those out if you know the core temperaments. But the fun-loving sanguine, again, is the life of the party. They enjoy life. They're optimistic, which is great. Who likes to be around pessimistic people? I like to be around friendly people, optimistic people. They have a whole group around them. They're very compassionate. They can enter actually into other people's feelings because they really connect with other people. They're jokesters, they're talkers, they're great storytellers. They're entertaining. They're so fun to be around. They're usually great speakers because it doesn't bother them to be in front of the whole crowd. They're great musicians. They're great at drawing crowds. Like I said, they're very charming. They help make other people feel important because they actually connect with them. They draw people, like I said, and they add color to life. They're, like I told you, they're emotionally driven. So their weaknesses, they're spontaneous. They can be down emotionally because they're emotionally driven, but they can pop right back up. They can be self-centered because it can be all about them. They want to be the center of attention. They always got to have a word in. They're talking all the time. They can be fun-loving and not responsible, so they don't think through the consequences of their words. I think about Peter. He was a sanguine in that he didn't always think through his words sometimes. And so a sanguine can be shallow also if they're not trained, happy-go-lucky and not great at studying because they're just bubbly and they just live by the moment, by the day. And so they need to be trained to read and study the scripture, not to just be emotionally driven. They need to learn to live by the facts of the scripture, not by their emotions. Like I said before, they don't think before they speak. And I do have a sanguine, one of my girls. I know I mention my girls a lot, but that's because I've raised, we've got. That's who I've been around the most is our three children staying at home with them. But Victoria, our baby, is a sanguine and she is happy. She's always been the happiest child, laughing all the time. It did not ever bother Victoria and still does not to be in a crowd of people to make them laugh. And she is the best story taker. It is hilarious because when we get together as a group, Victoria adds something to every story and she likes to speak. I know when Miss Rebecca Simpson did that with Mercy and Truth during COVID and had those little sunshine moments. I can't remember that what she named those, but anyway, she asked Victoria to do one and Victoria was so excited and I was trying to help her with a lesson. She said, "No, Mama, this is what I'm gonna teach on." And she was 8 years old. And she had already known, she had already planned what she was going to talk. She said, "This is what the Lord wants me to speak on." And she was just tickled and so excited. And I just couldn't, what at all. I couldn't believe how well she did, but it didn't bother her one bit to have that little phone in front of her and me record her. It doesn't bother her to sing, really. She loves to sing. I know when her other older sisters sing a song without her, well, when's it my turn? Because she has that sanguine personality, and that's why I encourage her to sing and to take music because sanguines are usually musically gifted because that's part of their temperament. And so I've tried to encourage that with her. But she also in school, she's just happy-go-lucky. If she does it, she does. If she don't, she don't. She's just like, she's easily distracted. You have to keep her on task, but she also can be more emotionally driven, so I have to show her, we've got you can't be emotional. We've got to learn by the facts. And I've, but anyway, there's many more things I could go out with that. But sanguines are fun to be around, but you have to train them to have that self-discipline, and you have to train them to watch what they say and think before they speak. Remember, as I. That's all I'm going to go over today is I just want to review those two temperaments and go more in depth with those. And next week we'll go over the last two temperaments and then maybe one other lesson to just briefly go over the blends. And you can read for yourself the different blends in the book by Miss Beverly LaHaye. But I just want to encourage all of you moms that each one of my girls are totally different. It's amazing. And you would probably say, even if you have five or six, however many you have, they are all different because God made them all fearfully and wonder. They're all fearfully and wonderfully made. And it is an honor and privilege to guide these little bodies, these little temperaments for His glory. So I just want to encourage you if you have a choleric or that is strong-willed, my goodness, what opportunity to mold them into a mighty leader for the Lord. And then if you have a sanguine, what opportunity to mold them to be used of the Lord in speaking or whatever He has for them and put their all in it and to be that optimistic person for the Lord and His glory. But we have all have boundless potential with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God active in our life. But we have to be guided by Him because we all have weaknesses. But we all have to allow Him to be channeled through our homes, because if we're spirit-filled, remember that first lesson, we have to be spirit-filled in order for us to train our children to be spirit-filled.